This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 7th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And if nothing's on your mind, I got the tabloids. Yes, boy, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I love headlines like, who'll die next? Well, let us count the ways. And Joe Biden's health crisis revealed and everything else, too. So plenty of things to talk about in the Globe and the Inquirer this week, but nothing more important than your calls. As I was listening to the news, there's always murder, period. And more, I hate to say it, but of course, I don't know the particulars, obviously, about this woman who murdered her neighbor. They had a long-standing dispute, but finally it blew up and she just took her out of the game. And I hate to say this, but I don't condone it, God knows. But I really can understand it, because I talk about this often. People are on their last nerve. Yes, today for me it was customer service with an insurance company. Oh, man. I tell you, I was ready to come through the phone to strangle this woman. But my favorite part, when she said, well, have you called your former agent? I said, you can't call my former agent. Well, why is that? They don't answer the phone. Well, you're dialing the wrong number. I said, okay, give me the right number. And she gives me a number that I knew couldn't possibly be right by virtue of area code and exchange. And I said, you think this is the right number? I know it is. It's in our records. I said, then you dial it. Well, she puts me on hold, and I'm on hold for a long time. I kind of thought I was not on hold. I was on ignore. And that, would she come back to me at all, I was wondering. But I patiently waited, because I had other things I was doing while I was, on ignore. She did come back, to her credit. And she didn't say a word about not being able to reach these people. She said, you can call your current agent. I said, didn't have much luck, did you? Well, I've got an email address here. And so she starts to spout it off. I said, yep, that's the agent they fired. She's not there. Well, your current agent can help you. I said, you see, here's the thing. You told my, not you personally, your insurance company told my current agent that he wasn't the agent of record, and so therefore, he couldn't discuss it with them. And she said, well, I just advise you to pay the bill. The bill, by the way, was for a policy that I had canceled that automatically renewed because the prior agent didn't do their part to cancel it. And John even said, it's not that big, just pay him. No, if this is going to the state insurance commissioner, so be it. But by the time I was off the phone, I was just scraping myself off the ceiling. And listening to news, I'm hearing this one killed that one, this one did this one. And I'm thinking to myself, I get it. I absolutely get it. And customer disservice. And I know I'm not alone about that, for sure. So wanted to vent about that, because I'm positive that that I've got company. But as I said, your thoughts certainly trump mine. And Eduardo's closing was today. So let's go to a happy thing. At least I hope it was a happy thing. So how did it go, Eduardo?
Well, it was 20 minutes. It was pretty fast because it was a cash purchase, so mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be there long, but no, it was pretty smooth.
Good. So yeah. Now you are the proud owner of a home in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. They tossed in a gift bag. The realtor took a photo. Me, mom, and the realtor.
Okay.
And then I got a call from his boss.
Yeah.
Who used to live in Chicago back in the 90s. So it was very nice.
Good.
Yeah. Everything
Good.
Went well. And I'm going to DMV tomorrow.
And then it's official. You're a Floridian, no doubt about it. Get those license plates, get that driver's license, and be done with it.
Yeah, and then they told me about the homestead thing, so I can get a like a deduction or a discount on taxes, okay. Something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, good.
Be sure to be on top of that.
Yeah.
How can you miss on... on, you know, something on a low price, a discount, you know. How can
well,
you
that's
on that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was in the grocery store today, and in front of me was a woman, you know, complaining about this or that and checking out. And then the cashier made the mistake of saying, "Do you want the senior discount?" And this woman said, "You think I'm a senior citizen?" And I just looked at her and said, "Lady, shut up and take the discount. They're giving it to you. It's free money. Just take it." Well, I'm not a senior
well, she
citizen.
Wants to say that she's young. I mean,
right,
yeah,
sure. Right. Well, I don't think she was young as far as that goes. But I looked at the cashier. I said, "Can I take her discount too?"
Right.
Yeah, give me it. I'll take it. Yeah, but I thought to myself, who in their right mind turns down a discount?
There aren't exactly coupons in those Sunday papers anymore.
Well, what it is more than anything is apps. Excuse me. Where they want you, of course, to have the fantastic plastic, your own ID number, so they can track everything you've ever bought in the store. And then they want you to download their app on your phone so you can get your coupons that way. And I'm thinking to myself, not worth it.
No, I say I use the ATM like once in my entire life, so I'm not up on that technology stuff.
No, well, this would be for, it wouldn't have to be a credit card or a debit card. It's just the cards they ask you to sign up for. But as far as the apps on the phone, I mean, the minute you do that, they're of course, part of your phone. And, you know, you read the privacy notices closely and you realize there's a lot more they can do than you realize. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, this is all a happy thing.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm glad things are... moving along. Hey, I was going to ask you before I jump off, because I didn't get a chance to yesterday. What do you think about these wire fires from Canada and the smoke going into our country over here and even Chicago? I told my brother, make sure you stay on top of that and watch the news.
Yeah, well, there's a map of every state that's affected and every city that's affected. And air quality absolutely is in many, many states problematic for people, especially with respiratory illness. So, yeah, it behooves you to know what's out there. And, of course, you know, a lot of people commenting there's a lot more ducting now on FM, so people getting distant signals that they weren't at other times. But the price of it isn't worth it, you know, and nothing you can do. You can't constrain wildfires to a border.
Yeah, but they already asked for U.S. firefighters, so they're asking for help from outside.
Sure, and we'll give it to them, too. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about that. And because let's face it, when we have those problems, everybody drops what they're doing to help us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is one that's not political and crosses boundaries, and absolutely we're all in it together. And, you know, I haven't read that much about the cause, but once they start to spread, and of course, there's a lot of timber in Canada.
Oh, my God. I saw it went like British Columbia all the way to Quebec.
Yeah. Well, there, if you look at the amount of timber, you can see how that happens. So, yeah, because, you know, there's not much population. And most of it are in cities that are very close to the border, relatively close to the border. So when you talk about Canada as a whole, most of it is uninhabited. So when something starts to spread like that, you betcha it can go across a country. And I'm going to have to really look into exactly what drove it originally. But
yeah, there's been flights that have been grounded on the East Coast.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. So I think by far this is the most destructive wildfire season Canada's ever had. But the idea that, quote unquote, it's climate change, I say, let's not get political about this now. I would not go there if I were you. But as far as weather, which is always secular, and when it's warm and when it's dry and when you're in an area that is heavily wooded, that's not unusual. And it did get hot in British Columbia, and I guess it was a record, something like 113 degrees or higher than that. And
wow,
yeah,
something. Yeah,
I think that was the previous high, and now this might have been 120. But when you get to you got a lot of prairies there, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and you can see how it can just sweep across it. And so when you're dealing with drought,
Ontario, so
you're really looking at a kind of landmass that we don't have in this country, as far as we don't have vacant land coast to coast like that that's heavily wooded. Certainly we have areas, but nothing like this. And I'd say at least half of Canada's wildfires are lightning. And I don't know what happened here. I think Alberta said there the cause is unknown. Quebec, I think, said we had lightning. But I'm looking to see, and I will look after the show, if there was any human cause as well. But like I say, half of them, it's just Mother Nature. And you betcha we will support Canada in this any way we can.
All right, I'm going to enjoy the rest of the show and tomorrow too, so have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company. As I mentioned before, for me to endorse a company, I've got to absolutely believe in them. And I think Bob Crane should be knighted. He really do. Because years ago, Bob, as a radio lover, felt the same disdain that many of us did, because the current radios, just the reception was, pretty abysmal. And Bob vowed that he could do better. And he has. Every radio that the Sea Crane Company brands as theirs has better reception, period, than anything else you're going to get on the market today. And not only that, you get a lot of really neat features. And speaking of wildfires or other emergency situations, take a look at the CC Solar Observer. And it's a radio built for an emergency and built in for a surprise, because, you might have a flashlight if the power goes out and then you find out the batteries are dead. You might have a radio, same deal. No batteries. Yeah, power's out. What do I do? Well, the solar, of course, is wonderful because you can put it in a windowsill and charge it with the sun, and it's just beautiful. But let's say you didn't do that. And of course, the batteries will last a really long time. But let's say you didn't. Well, you hand crank this for about 30 seconds with a little hand crank on the back. It'll play for about 30 minutes. And in a pinch, it will fire up your cell phone. Now, it's not going to be something you'd use to charge your cell phone every day. No doubt about that. But in a pinch, when you got no other solution, when everything else is dead, the CC Solar may be the thing that saves you. And so it's got the built-in flashlight, by the way. So you've got the flashlight, you've got radio, you've got the weather band, and you've got as good AM, FM reception as you're going to get. It's a dependable emergency radio with superior reception. And so, yeah, I think it should be in everybody's arsenal. You can read about it, ccradio.com. Anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Solar Observer. If you need immediate shipping, of course, you can do the Amazons of the world. But for the real deal experience, the Sea Crane website has great information as well as great products. And the CC Solar Observer is just one of them. Now, if you can't go online, well, no reason you shouldn't be covered as well. They'll talk to you by phone. They've got great customer service, unlike most places. And you can order right over the phone. They'll answer all your questions as well. And that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do it. CCRadio.com. Look at the CC Solar Observer. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Amor went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong. Come.
Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a hey, Mambo. You don't wanna tarantala, hey, hey, Mambo. No more mozzarella, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, try an angelada with the fish, baccalà, and then hey, Goomba. I love how you dance the rumba. But take some advice, paisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe. Shake it like a Giovanna. Hello, kiss it, did you? Get happy in the pizza when you mambo Italiano.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. It was Johnny D who asked me to play that, and I said, don't you want the original? And mentioned Rosie Clooney, and he said, who? And yeah, that was written for Rosemary Clooney, and of course it was a huge hit for her in the United States and in France, and it was number one in Great Britain in early 55, here in 54. And then a year later, Dean Martin redid it and had a hit to some degree of his own. But not only did Johnny D say, I want the Dean Martin version, but he would have turned 106 years old today. Yeah, born in 1917 in Steubenville. And you know the rest of the deal. He actually covered a lot of records and not a lot of pop hits as far as that goes, but a terrific entertainer. And according to everyone who knew him, just a great guy. He got lung cancer in 93 and refused the surgery, which I don't blame him a bit. Died Christmas Day 95 at home in Beverly Hills and 78 years old. So, yeah, but Mambo Italiano was a hit for him, but it was, like I say, it was written for Rosemary Clooney. Bob Merrill wrote it. And in fact, Rosie was on Columbia and it was interesting in that this was sort of at the behest of Mitch Miller, but Mitch Miller was not the producer on her record. Paul Weston and Buddy Cole was. But in addition to Bob Merrill, co-writer included Frankie Lane, who, of course, was of Italian heritage himself. So, and the lyrics are basically nonsense, as you can tell. So, all right, happy 106th birthday would have been. For Dean Martin. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we got Don and Beloit and Lee and Marcus Hook and Bruce and Elwood and John and Covington. But Andrew in Chicago is weighing in on customer disservice. So, all right, Andrew, the floor is yours.
Hi, Raleigh. Good evening. Just real quick, I happened to look at the live webcam today in New York, and I don't know if you've seen those photos. But it was brown. I wish there was a way I could text you or email you a photo that I did a still shot.
Yeah.
It was like brown water. I mean, you could not see the skyline. It was just horrific.
It was that brown orange color that only fires can give you. Hang on a minute. Don't go away, Andrew. Stay right where you are. We're going to check out the world at large at the WGN Radio newsroom and be back to Andrew in moments on WGN Radio.
Another day, these tears are falling. Since you went away, my heart keeps calling. Each tear from my eyes can make you realize, why can't you see the way my heart is calling? That you'd never go away. But I played around too long, and you left that very same day. I didn't mean to lie, I couldn't explain why. But can't you see now my heart is calling? Why can't see that I need you so much. Come on home to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it's an interesting evening all the way around, but it's great to be talking to you about whatever's on your mind, and that, of course, is Jackie Wilson, who would have turned 89 on Friday. Yeah, born in 34 in Detroit. And, yeah, wasn't very religious, but loved singing in church. And, sadly, as you know, it was not a happy end. It was September 29th, 1975. He was on stage at the Latin Casino in Cherry Hill. He was doing Lonely Teardrops during Dick Clark's Good Old Rock and Roll Review. And initially, because if you ever saw him, he was so flamboyant and so emotional that that people at the Latin Casino figured it's just part of the act. No, it was a stroke that left him in a coma, unfortunately, for 9 years almost. Died at age 49, complications from pneumonia. But boy, I'll tell you, in the years that he was active, we got some great, great music, I'll tell you what. So, 888-876-5593, and we're talking with Andrew about the customer disservice and more. So, sorry for the interruption. You're back, Andrew.
That's okay. Hey, Raleigh, I want to thank you for all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Line 9 sounds great out here. I can hear everything on hold. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm glad Line 9's working.
Yeah, these are IP addresses, and I do them by number because I learned the hard way. Don't give out IP addresses on the stream, and so I don't do that anymore. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on with the connection, and it's good at my end, as you can tell, and my stream sounds fine. But what Adam's seeing in the GN control room is a lot of jitter and some packet loss.
So, well, we hope it doesn't affect the rest of the show.
Well, it's not going to affect me, God knows, but hopefully it'll be good at master control as well. And, you know, I'm always ready to yell at the broadband providers, but unfortunately it looks like I don't have a case, or maybe fortunately I don't have a case tonight.
Well, you were very kind, and there was no swearing behind scenes. So,
oh, no.
It was good.
No, well, you know, I mean, this is radio. Nobody dies. If you can't have a good time, you're in the wrong business.
Nothing like live radio.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share two quick stories with you. Speaking of New York and the fires, I bank with Chase, and I had a call customer service a few months back. And unfortunately, God bless her soul, I couldn't understand the woman. That was number one. And number two, there were roosters you could hear in the background and dogs barking.
Yes, yes. You know what I mean? Obviously, with the accent, you're probably talking to someone offshore. But increasingly now, they're letting people do it from home. And it's almost humorous, the things you will hear behind the customer service agent. But, you know, chickens are very commonplace, you betcha, and everything else, yes.
Yep. So I had some friends visit a couple weeks ago from Virginia. They used to live in Chicago. They came back to visit, and he needed to get a rental car because him and his wife were going to then take off from Chicago and go on a vacation. And so rather than rent the car at O'Hare Airport and pay all those expensive airport fees, he rented a car at an offshore location. An off-site location.
Right.
So I drop him off there, and I told him, I said, let me come in with you. I'll just wait just to make sure there's no problem. So he gets there, and the woman says, we don't have any cars for you. He goes, well, what do you mean you don't have any cars? He says, I made the reservation like 4 months ago. She says, we don't have any cars. People didn't return them. So he asks her, well, could you call another location nearby, which was another suburb over, and she says, I'm not calling anybody. And he goes, what do you mean you're not calling anybody? She says, it's exactly it. She goes, I'm not calling anybody. And so it went back and forth and back and forth. And eventually we ended up having to leave, and he had to get a car. And I had to drive him to O'Hare to pick up a car. But this woman behind the counter was absolutely nasty. She wouldn't do a thing to help him. And It was really sad. I couldn't believe my ears. Standing there hearing this. She was so rude. It was just horrific.
Was this a national chain?
It begins with an A.
Okay. Well, I got a good idea about that, and I'm glad you said that because it could be multiple choice, but I think I know. All right. Well, that's where the complaint letters start, because what's going on with your friend is he not only had to rent at the airport, but he had to rent at last-minute rates because he didn't make a reservation in advance. And so
it cost him like $160 more.
Yes, of course it did. Right. And so I would be unmerciful writing letters to corporate and all that and explain that, you know, maybe you don't care that it's going to be all over social media. But, you know, when something like that happens, you absolutely should be squawking. Your friends should be, just be going to town.
Yeah, it was really sad. You know, I almost felt like I was in that like a movie. Because I couldn't believe the words coming out of her mouth. She was just defiant.
Those are my two quick stories,
and I have a great night. And if you get a chance, could you? My dad loved the Cadillacs. I don't know if you get a chance to play something from the Cadillacs.
Oh, absolutely! You don't have to twist my arm for that. I'll get you some Cadillacs next.
Thank you, Raleigh. All right. Have a great night.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think if I were in that situation, what I would do is whip out the cell phone in front of the woman and call the 800 number, because it is a chain, and start going to town there about what won't happen, and you escalate to supervisor, all that. Now, of course, what I recognize in four-part harmony is that probably you're on a time budget in terms of you got to be somewhere at a certain moment, and you don't have the time to do it. But if you do, oh, man. Man, that's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. And I guess the for peace of mind, the best version is to shrug your shoulders and move on. But yeah, I'd be like a dog with a bone. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. And this is too good. Leah, of course, went to the doctor today. Now you'll remember the Ozempic story, the once a week shot that she took all of them in one day. All right, so what'd you find out, Leah?
Oh, I found out that I'm fine, and he gave me another shot today, and he doubled it, so I'm fine.
What do you mean he doubled it?
He doubled it. Well, see, the first time he gave me a half shot, and so this time he doubled it.
All right, so he didn't give you two shots, but he gave you one whole shot. Did he also?
One whole shot.
And then do you do another one next week?
Yes, he gave me three more shots to take home, and then I do one every Wednesday now.
Yes, because that's when you did this.
Month.
Yes. All right. So you got the instructions and you're doing fine.
I lost 11 pounds.
I'll bet you did. I'm surprised you didn't lose an organ.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Right. He rushed through the blood work and we waited for about an hour and then it came through that I'm fine. So.
Good. Good. All right. Yeah. Well, that's excellent to hear. You still have a pancreas. Well, congratulations.
I do. And I wanted to talk about the smoke, too. It's really bad here. My asthma was so bad today. I shouldn't have gone out. I have to go out again tomorrow. Actually, I have to go see my pain doctor. And then in the evening, I have an audition.
For what?
For Fiddler on the Roof, the chorus, Fiddler on the Roof.
All right.
It's at the same place where I did Sound of Music where I was in the nuns course for the Sound of Music, the Players Club of Swarthmore, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
So they're having casting calls for the Sound of for Fiddler on the Roof tomorrow night at 6. So
well, good.
I'm
well,
going to go
good
try
luck, yeah.
out.
And you'll have to tell me how it goes.
Yeah, I will. And the smoke today was terrible. And they said on ABC News that if you go out in New York right now, the smoke, the air quality is worse than New Delhi. And it's like, if you go out without a mask on, it's like inhaling a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Canada, thousands and thousands of people have been evacuated from various places.
I know.
Places.
Oh, and the Canadian government says at least 50% of all their forest fires are started by people.
Well, the other 50% is lightning.
Right.
But
right.
I think...
And then the oxymoron is trying to blame it on climate change.
Well, right. And, you know, and anybody who is not coming from a political bent will tell you that it's not as simple as that under any circumstances.
Right.
It never is.
And
you're dealing with wildfires from both the east and the west, and you've been experiencing it in places where they haven't had much in the way of a fire in the past, of course, which means there's probably a lot more to burn. So the west, it's fairly common, just like in the U.S., because especially when it's north and it's not populated regions. But when you're talking about 26,000 people displaced, now people are paying attention. And,
it was smoky here. It was hazy here.
It is.
I mean, we were getting it today.
Oh, absolutely. There's a map I saw. I should try to find that. But there's a map of the U.S. as to what cities are impacted and how badly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They showed it on ABC News, and they said it's because of this Omega block or something, that the way the wind was blowing, it was like in the shape of the letter Omega in the Greek alphabet. Yeah. That's why it was called that. And that's the way the winds are going. And when that stops, then the winds will come through and blow it out to sea. So I don't know.
Yeah, and that's on the East Coast, and yeah, you can see the map, and Philadelphia doesn't look like a happy place, to say the least.
No, it's not. So. It's not as bad as New York, but it's not. It's haze.
Yeah,
it's a haze. It looks like fog over everything.
Well, and you know, it's as far south as the Carolinas.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And it's a shame because we've been having the greatest weather before this. We have been having, like, the nicest weather, like 50s, 60s, no humidity whatsoever. Just beautiful breezes and cool breezes off the river. It's just been so nice here.
Well, it's interesting because when you look at the map, and ABC had those maps, you're right. You can see that Philadelphia, the way the wind currents are, is really getting the brunt of this in many ways. I mean, yes, Syracuse is, and as far down as D.C., but Philadelphia, you look at that map, and boy, it's apparent. So what you're seeing when you look outside is exactly what they're seeing on their maps.
Yeah, so I'm going to wear a mask all day tomorrow because that's what they said to do.
Well, good luck on that.
Especially if you have asthma or something, just wear a mask.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
that's
good
what
deal.
We're going to do tomorrow.
Well, let us know about those.
I will let you know how the audition went tomorrow night.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate
thanks.
It. All right. So, yeah, Swarthmore. Those are the high dollar tickets. All right. So we'll get to Michael, who's on the road. Oh, I'm going for a ride again. I love to ride. And we've got Bruce and Elwood and Don and Beloit and Dawn in Stevensville, Michigan. Yeah. And, oh, customer service. She's got stories, too. Oh, good. And John in Covington, Kentucky. Car talk. And if the lines are busy, well, they won't be all night. And we hope to hear from you, too, on WGN Radio.
I'm asking you, boom, 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 boom.
Please be my girlfriend. I've been waiting for a long, long time. For that moment I could call you mine. Oh, little girl, say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Please give my heart one little chance. And we can build a sweet romance. I really love you so.
I'll be faithful and true. Please let me prove it to you. I love you, Mandy.
And I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Please say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
prove it to you. I love you madly, and I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course those are the Cadillacs, and that's for Andrew, whose dad loved them. And yeah, me too, as far as that goes. All right, so I've got about a minute left in this hour, and then, of course, I've got two more hours to talk to you, but let's finish the hour with Michael on the road. So thanks for taking me along. What's up, Michael?
Holly, we're headed to Escanaba, Michigan.
All right. Ooh, a road trip.
Yeah, that's a good one. 327 miles one way.
Yay.
I wanted to say that with regards to my comments last night about John Rekker's Landecker, but listening to you prior to speaking with you, coincidentally, he had a segment on AM, FM radio, and how, really, technology in vehicles should take up the challenge to find a way to incorporate AM radio in the new electric vehicles.
Excellent.
It's useful, in other words.
Excellent. You know? Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, me too. So, he's come from the same club as you and I, and I know you two are probably contemporaries, too.
Yeah,
Yeah. Comes to the radio.
A great way to end the hour, and we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for taking me with you, Michael. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, we'll pick it up there next hour here on WGN Radio.
Once I loved, and I gave so much love to this love, it was the world to me. Once I cried, was foolish and proud, and let you say goodbye. Then one day, from my infinite sadness you came, and brought me love again. Now I know, that no matter whatever befalls, I'll never let you go. I will hold you close, night and day. Because love is the saddest thing when it goes away.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Astor Gilberto. That's from that same 1965 Verve album that she did with Antonio Carlos Jobim. He, of course, did the music for Amor en Paz, or in this case, Once I Love, the English translation. In fact, her husband, João Gilberto, had released it, and it was somewhat of a hit in 1961. But the first version was Agostinho dos Santos. And maybe I'll play that some night, because you'll recognize his voice if you saw the film Black Orpheus, because that's who they chose to do the dubbing on that. In fact, he was in competition with João Gilberto for that, and Agostinho got it. And he sadly died in about 73. But a number of people did that. When I say a number of people, I mean well over 300 versions of that easily. And a couple of years before Astrid did it on that album, Sylvia Tellis had it out and was a quasi hit as well, not here but there. So, but like I say, we're talking about literally over 300 versions. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Dawn in Stevensville, Michigan, welcome back to WGN Radio. Have I lost you, Dawn? Oh, I think we lost Dawn's customer disservice car rental horror story. So, Dawn, call us back. Appreciate that. And now from Dawn to Dawn. Dawn is in Beloit. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me and playing that Astrid song. Oh, yeah. My goodness. That was a good one you picked there.
Yeah.
I unfortunately couldn't listen to you last night, so I imagine maybe you did some other tributes last night.
Well, yes, I did quite a few. In addition to that, did a whole thing on the Dave Ramsey thing, which of course was just for you, Don. So if you go to Raleigh.net, you can hear the replay. Just download it anytime you want.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Well, I was busy playing hockey. In fact, I had two games for my own particular team. I mainly play on in the summer, and I was busy playing hockey.
Good.
Having fun doing that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely worthwhile. Good deal.
Well, I saw her play a great show that was kind of famous at the time, February of 1999 at the House of Blues, Chicago. I saw Astrid Gilberto's show. And, oh, my goodness. She was just so great in her, I think, early 60s. And I don't know. Me and my friends always adored her. You know,
yeah.
It was so great. Sad to hear her passing 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, we're all getting to that age, so it wasn't surprising. But she had been in the States, really, since the 60s, and she was living in Philadelphia at the time of her her death. But, you know, I thought she was great, and she did a lot of touring earlier and then sort of retired from it for the most part. But, yes, Astrid Weinert was her name.
Right, right, good German father.
Right. Well, you know, typical in Brazil, you'll see a lot of names that might be German or French, you know, and of course Portuguese, but a lot of Germanic names. You betcha.
Well, I always thought, like, just going back looking at that, you know, her rise to stardom. I mean, it's like history, you know, pop music history. Like, there is rock and country and R&B. I mean, there's epic stories where if you're in the right place in the studio at the right time, I mean, this is one of those turnarounds in music history.
Yeah, you know? No, she wasn't really paid for the session either, and she was not. She was somewhat reluctant. Of course, it was Joie's session, and they decided, you know, Astrid, who knew some English because she was multilingual, they thought they'd try it on her. And it really was, you know, a last minute thing. But she had a wonderfully adaptive voice for bossa nova.
Right, right. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, for her. And we know it. You know, the sad part is there's so many artists that we don't know, like Wanda de Sá and many others who are just terrific, but they just really never broke anywhere outside of Brazil.
Right, right.
You know, and then
I was trying to think, you know, before this call, like I was on a long drive myself today a little earlier, and I was trying to think of an example, like, you know, someone that was pretty international, like Pavarotti, for example, you know, really famous. And let's say Pavarotti marries someone young, let's say, and then she becomes that woman, and becomes, after a little session, becomes like a Taylor Swift kind of top superstar, like,
well,
not just international, but intercontinental, like across the world.
That was sort of the story of Sonny and Cher.
That's true too. Off the streets of Detroit.
Well, and not only Detroit, but L.A. Certainly, she wouldn't sing without him at first because she was scared. And he said, "All right, I'll sing with you." And of course, you know, she became the standout star.
When you were I think one thing that we all have in common, sorry, switching around to your dilemma that all of us can relate to with insurance companies, but you know, the people all want to know, was that story originated because of a certain V28 maybe claim?
No,
No.
These aren't auto claims at all. This has nothing to do with auto. Actually, this particular deal today was a workers' comp thing where a policy renewed while I had another policy in force with the same company. And right. And when they realized it, they canceled it, but they want me to pay the difference of when it was in force, even though there was another policy in force at the time. Yeah. And, you know, John's more pragmatic. Send a check, you know. but you know, I stand on principle. But no. You know, I had another thing with actually with business insurance earlier today where I looked at this. I said, what the hell? Because suddenly one of my locations, one of four locations that's insured in an inland marine policy as well as a general business, the contents disappeared from the policy. You know, they were no what? What do you mean you're not insured? Sharing the contents in this one location. So I, of course, had to write letters about that. But no, car insurance, no, I never had problems with them.
Okay. Because you did, you are going to tell us more about the Z28.
Well, there's not a whole lot.
Like, maybe be your therapy, maybe.
No, there's not really a whole lot to tell. It was in for repair, and one of the guys in the repair shop backed into it with another vehicle at somewhat of a high rate of speed. And it's really, I saw the damage. It's not nearly as bad as you might think, as we might. Our issue is just, my issue, is that A, genuine GM parts for anything you're replacing, and B, yep, this car is 30 years old. You better match that paint exactly. I better not be able to tell. And as long as they do that, and check the alignment. Since he ran into it at a fairly high rate of speed, I want to know exactly how that alignment's looking right about now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your show as always, and so does all of us. And you playing that Rosie Clooney, Dean Martin song was really fun. That was fun and brought back a lot of memories.
Well, good. It's always good to hear from you. Thanks. What?
Yeah. And you played To Me Delirio. You and I talked about that a few months ago. That was really cool that you played both versions of that a few months ago. We talked about.
Sure. Well, yeah, my
thank
pleasure.
You so much.
But yeah, just go to Rollie.net, Rollye.net. Click on downloads, and you can listen to last night's show.
Okay. Thank you so much. I usually go to that, but I haven't done it yet, so I'll definitely do that later.
Then you'll hear the Dave Ramsey segment, and then you can comment yourself.
All right. I can't wait. That's great. Right. I really appreciate you listening
to that.
All
right. All right. Good deal.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593-8888-Rollie. Takes us to Bruce in Elmwood. What's going on tonight, Bruce?
Hi, Rollie. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I just had an opinion. I was actually going to call before you talked about people being on the last edge, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's we're being bombarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by propaganda.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think Joseph Goebbels is a piker compared to these people out here now.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the 24-hour... drama queens on the news, but commercials are just, I mean, it used to be the guy come on TV and say, oh, you can get this car $99 down and $99 a month and all that, you know, and now every commercial is just propaganda. Either you use this dressing and you can ride a horse in your kitchen and my little kid will eat these waffles. But the worst, they keep saying, oh, if you don't buy this policy for your car and it breaks down, it could cost you thousands of dollars. But
yeah,
the worst that they get you on are these medical ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, the medical ones are actually funny because at the end of them, they have to run the disclaimer. And
well, what's worse than that? Oh.
I was going to say, to me, when they run that disclaimer, I mean, it sounds like it's a Saturday Night Live bit. I can't imagine anybody who would want to take that drug after hearing the disclaimer.
Well, and then there's like 6 inches of newsprint that you can't, or print that you can't even read with the side effects and all that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, well, you know, you bring up something interesting in terms of commercials, and I never really thought about it. Not so much propaganda, but scare tactics that, you know, you better have our service or you're going to lose your house, you know, that kind
of
thing.
It's psychological. Yeah. Is what it is. And people are already struggling. And now you're trying to watch a program, not watch the news, and this commercial comes on. And like these drug ones will have, oh, if your knees hurt, see your doctor and get this medicine.
Yeah.
And if your eyes water, see your doctor and get this medicine.
Yeah,
and the next commercial is, if at any time you took this medicine, you could be entitled to compensation for any of these. And then they'll list 35 different things that this other drug cause people
right.
to die from, you know?
Right. No, I mean, at some point I'm waiting for them to say, you know, starts quacking like a duck or, you know, barking like a dog or, you know, I know it's crazy. Of course, this is going to make me play Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, fast acting, pleasant taking. You probably remember that. If not, I'll play it anyway.
But it's like, I'm sure that there's psychologists and groups that do these commercials that, you know, they sit down with focus groups and say, oh, this commercial, and it's just to try and get stuck in your brain.
Now, here's the next question, though, and I wonder about this. You see it on television tremendously and on most radio stations. They'll run 7 minutes of commercials in a row. How many people actually have seen or heard the fourth one in?
Well, yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know either, but obviously from your conversation, you've seen them all.
Well, they because of the TV shows, leave you hanging so you want to see the beginning of the next segment.
Well, it's interesting you're watching them in real time. I wonder how many people do that anymore. You know, if you've got a streaming service and all that, you know, watch them at another time and just fast forward through them.
Well, I don't have that. I'm 71 years old, and I watch TV like everybody used to.
Ah, all right. Well, I think there's a lot of time shifting going on, and people actually just speeding through it. You know, as I've mentioned several times.
But you're still getting bombarded everywhere you look with commercials and stuff, and even on the radio. I mean, if you're listening to the radio, you still get them, and it's all this drama stuff. Like you say, it's, oh, if you don't do this, your house is going to fall in a hole.
Yeah, I understand. I understand completely. Like I say, you'll lose the property because someone will have stolen the title. That was one of my favorites. Oh God.
Oh yeah, that one's out there.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're trying to escape to watch this program, and then the first, even there's 8 minutes of commercials, but that first one or second one, you know, is always. But the ones that get me are the funny ones for the. Take this drug, take that drug, and then if you ever took this drug...
Right, right. We have compensation for you. Compensation. Right, right. Exactly. No, you get that all the time, even with emails. You know, I'll see a number of emails. Have you ever taken whatever it is, some unpronounceable drug? You know, we want to hear from you. But yeah, I'll bet you do. So, yeah. No, that's
I get some insane emails on politics that are...
Oh, well,
and I can't get them to stop coming to me. I mark them as spam and everything, and they still just keep coming.
You know, years ago, it happened for the first time. Somebody signed me up for politics type emails for views that I didn't share. You know, they intentionally went in the other direction, and it was my email address, but they gave the person a different name and all that. And I probably get conservatively 15,000 email a week like that. But then more recently, somebody enterprising, as you will, since I've been doing this show, decided they'd sign me up for other things. And now it's not unusual, John seen it, that I get up in the morning and I look at my inbox and there's over 12,000 messages.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And the bad part is that, you know, sometimes I alphabetize them and try to pick out the ones that are important, but sometimes it's just such overload that I just say, I can't take it, and I delete them all. Well, invariably, that's when the three that I needed to see came in.
Yeah. Oh my. Oh, I can't imagine getting that many.
Yeah. And the idea.
I'm irritated with the 10 I get a day, you know.
The idea that you can use different email addresses. Oh, I had done that. I had a nice, pristine email address until somebody got it at a radio station and didn't like what I was saying on the air and signed me up for things you wouldn't have believed. So there went that one. Anything that's public won't last with me. So, yeah, I get it. Now, unfortunately, some of those emails I might like to read, but I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I
just think that it's psychological warfare on the American people.
Interesting. Well, yeah, everybody is on their last nerve, so it makes sense.
Yeah, and you are, and like I said, every time, like you say, that one about, oh, you could lose your house if you know, this title, someone might already be getting a loan on your house and everything.
Right.
So people,
right.
Especially more particularly older people.
Well, or the banks are going to collapse next month, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
So buy this, whatever it is.
I'm in that age group where they target me, but I'm still haven't lost my whole mind yet, just half of it.
Right. So, well,
you get people a little bit older than me that are really get freaked out by these kind of things coming to them, or even watching TV, you know, you know, some older person has their house that's been paid for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And they see that commercial and they start freaking out over it.
Right. And the worst part is it has happened. Doesn't happen often, but it has happened. And, you know, as soon as they started putting all the property information online, this is a bad thing. Used to be you had to go to the county in person to see the details. Now, you know, with the click of a mouse, you're there. So you knew fraud was going to be there.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. Let's see what we're going to hear next. I can't wait to hear this break. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. Audit the break coming up on WGN Radio.
Do you have that run down? Does your head go reeling? Are you nervous, jumpy, or on the edge? Is it neuritis, neuralgia, a head cold distress? Or maybe is your sinus drainage? Do you have tired blood, beriberi? Or maybe you're a little overweight? You better make some correction. In all this infection, just send in $1.98. Get rid of that running nose, that nagging cough, that sneeze, that chew, that wheeze, and other injuries.
injuries. Take the wonder drug that cures all your ills. Take Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick dissolving, fast acting, pleasant tasting green and purple pills. Oh yeah. Well, it won't upset your stomach. It's good for arthritis. It soothes all your aches and pains. Get rid of those hammers in your head. Don't be a hypochondriac. Start feeling better again. Clear up that fungus among us. It's good for every ailment, including water on the knee. And it's guaranteed to be just what you need for quick, fast, speedy relief.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Couldn't resist it. 1961 on Mercury, of course, and Ray Stevens wrote it. Who else would? Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick-dissolving, fast-acting, pleasant-tasting, green and purple pills. Yeah. Might be the longest title ever. I don't know. But that, at the time, was in response, especially on the border blasters, you know. I mean, long after the goat glands and Brinkley and all that. You know, the stuff that you'd hear from Wolfman Jack on XCRF, or later XCRB, or everything else. You know, they had something that was going to put a glut in your strut and a glide in your stride. And so at the time, there were the airways were full of that. At a time, by the way, when pharmaceutical companies couldn't advertise directly to the public. So that was verboten. That got changed quite a while ago now, but originally the idea was not direct advertising. Yeah, well, race is on for that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio. How's it going, Laura?
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing? You're sounding good.
Well, good. Good to hear from you. What's up?
Well, I think it was Leah that called about she has an audition tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'd like to give a little input. But before I do that real quick, is it permissible to give her 5 seconds of a song from the show?
I don't know. Is it?
Well, I mean, it's up to you, because I'd like to just sing five seconds of a song.
You go for it. You go, girl.
Okay. This is from Fiddler on the Roof. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a fine, catch me a catch. So I'm trying to motivate Leah for her audition tomorrow.
All right.
What I find, and it's funny that this, I was on the way home from a play rehearsal today. I know you don't do movies, but Doris Day was in the movie Pajama Game. And we're actually doing that play next week.
Sure.
So we're kind of getting nervous, but I just wanted to give her a heads up. A good way to not be nervous when you go to audition, just figure, hey, I got the part. Now I'm just performing. Treat it like a performance and just do the best you can. And I'm sure she'll do good.
Absolutely. But, and she's done it before. Yeah. You know, she's been on stage before. So,
sure. It's funny, two last things. She's doing Fiddler. I played Yenta in Fiddler, and she said she did Sound of Music. And I did Sound of Music last year. So I'm pulling for Leah, and I can't wait to hear how she did.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's neat about the Pajama Game. Going to do Hey There? Another Rosie Clooney record.
Oh, very good. I didn't know you knew that, since you don't do movies, really.
Well, I don't do movies, but you know, I mean, these are pop standards. That was number one in 1954.
True.
And then Sammy Davis Jr. did it and got to top 20 record, and Johnny Ray did it. So, yeah, that a lot
and
of people did Hey There.
Love a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know Doris Day, of course, sang it in the musical, some of the versions are just great of that, and there's a number of things in that. So yeah, well, go for it.
Well, I love it. I can't wait to hear about it.
All right, me too. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Great. Great. Thanks, Rally.
All right, good Bye. Deal. So 888-876-5593. Maybe we'll play Hey There. Yeah, I haven't heard that in quite a while. But yeah, I love some of those pop standards. And what's so sad is that music has really been passed over in terms of historically and with awards and things like that. And when John Rooke was still alive, he started a Hall of Fame for pop standards pretty much. And sadly, it died with him. I hate to say it, but true. But yeah, the period between big band and rock and roll really is almost ignored in terms of historically speaking, and there were some absolutely terrific records in that. So we've got John in Covington, Kentucky. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rally. I'm glad the gentleman asked about your Z28. Now I don't have to.
Okay.
Okay. And then we were talking about Corvettes last week, and I got to ask you, I'm assuming, I know you shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming you've been to the Corvette Museum.
You know, are you talking about in Bowling Green?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I've not been there. All the Corvettes that I drove were made in the St. Louis plant. And the Bowling Green plant was repurposed. It used to be something completely else when I lived near it. You know, it didn't actually tool up until the 80s. And, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a, I can't believe you've not been there the way you like to drive and everything. Anyway, there's a Jerry's restaurant. I don't even remember the Jerry's restaurants.
Yeah, sure, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And then there's the Corvette Museum, and right next to the Corvette Museum is Mammoth Cave.
Oh yeah, no, I'm very well aware of that, and of course Cave Countries. But before it was the Corvette plant. When I used to drive between Nashville and Louisville every week, so clearly I know all those exits. Like I'd always stop. You talk about the caves. Always stop at exit 53 because I like that Shell station and stuff like that. But anyway, the plant you could see from I-65, and it was a Chrysler air conditioning plant. Yeah, that's what it was before. It was the Corvette plant and the Corvette Museum. It was Chrysler air conditioning. So let's face it, drove by that 100 times if I drove by it once, but who the hell wants to stop and see the Chrysler air conditioning plant?
I'll tell you, Bob Braun, I don't mean to play Cincinnati here again.
No, that's fine.
I have to. Every year, we would go to the Cavalcade of Customs car show, and Bob Braun was just, he was a nut about restoring cars and putting them in car shows. The neatest Corvette I ever seen was Bob Braun entered a 1962 Corvette convertible, candy apple red, with black leather interior. Ooh. The neatest Corvette I ever seen.
Wow! Yeah. No, I did not know that. You know, that's I thought I knew a lot about Bob Braun, but I did not know that.
The way he put it was like, I enjoy it, and it's also an investment. So it was.
And, yeah. You know, as bad as the Corvettes I had were, I always said I was driving an investment because you could almost always sell it for what you bought it for or more. It was something that just did not go down in value, and especially when they were more limited in production. But no, at the time I would drive through Bowling Green, like I say, a couple times a week for a few years. Pauline's place was the brothel. And when they tore that down, they sold the bricks. And at one point I had a brick.
I wouldn't know anything about it.
Oh, yeah. One point, it was a 627 Clay Street. Anyway, once I had a brick, but I do not. Pauline Tabor was her name. And she was Kentucky's most famous madam. And
how about that?
Yeah. So that when anytime it says Bowling Green, I say, yeah, Pauline's, I had a brick. So that was the deal. But she lived until the 90s. And then I think died of heart failure or something in San Antonio. She was living there then. But yeah, Pauline's. If you ever look at the history of Bowling Green, you'll read all about it. But yeah, that Corvette plant, you know, wasn't the same as St. Louis. And of course, as you know, there is no 1983 Corvette.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay.
It went from the body style through 82, then nothing in 83, and then came in 84 with, oh man, talk about a trouble card. That year, 84, was just vexed. And they did better in 85, but
I had one bad experience. Not really a bad experience, but I was scared. This Corvette with racing slicks on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's on with Texas license plate. He's up here on, you know, my side of the world here, and it starts freezing rain.
Oh, God.
And he's got racing slicks. I'm driving a Honda Accord at the time.
God. Oh, God.
And he's all over the road. I can't get around him. It was heck. It was total heck.
Oh, no. And those cars, I you know, as soon as you said that, whether I'd be crossing the Ohio River in Louisville to go into Indiana, or, you know, my God, coming from Kentucky into Cincinnati, when it would hit that sweet point and it would turn to ice, I mean, it would, it's a wonder I'm talking to you. I've never been more scared in my life. And, yeah, you no longer drive, you aim. So, yes.
Okay, well, just do me one favor, and it's not a big deal at all, but and I know you're not a racing person, but Saturday's the Belmont.
Oh, yes, it is.
Root for Angels Empire.
Angels Empire. All right. Well, number eight's a lucky
number.
Number eight's a lucky number. All right. Let's look for that.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Yeah. In America, in Norton, you know, this part of the world, number eight is considered very lucky. The numerologically speaking, the money number. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Lately, when I'm in my room all by myself in the solitary gloom, I call to myself. Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high-flying cloud. Though he won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday come to you. Better forget him, him with his nose in the air.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. There it is, Rosemary Clooney. Hey there. I'm going to say, Sammy Davis had a great version of that around the same time, but that was huge. It was number one for weeks and weeks on the MOR charts, if you will. So 888-876-5593. And of course, I've got slime from the checkout line. Yes, the tabloids are here. I haven't gotten to who'll die next. Yes, celebrities on the brink. Our choices on the cover are Cher, 77, Justin Bieber, 29, Liza, I don't know why, but Justin, we'll find out. Liza Minnelli, 77, Elton John, 76, Gene Hackman, 93, well, all right, and Jamie Foxx, 55. All right, so that's the list. We'll find out what's on as a cover story, what the deal is with that. Meanwhile, Bennifer's $600 million divorce. Yeah, this is from the pages of the National Enquirer, the June 12th, 2023 issues. So, yes, protecting her bottom line with an ironclad post-nup agreement, as apparently she and Ben Affleck are on the brink of a blockbuster $600 million divorce. Now, wait a minute. It's less than a year ago they got married. And so, well, you know, I guess they live for tabloid fodder, and they're certainly making it. So that's the deal. Apparently, she has $400 million, and he has $200 million or something. And they're arguing about things? Yeah, I know. This should be our problem. So anyway, it says, if she ends up losing money on top of that, her ego will never recover. Well, so be it. All right, then, speaking of Rosemary Clooney, we've got a story about George. Yes, her nephew. And that's right, Nick's son, George Clooney. And apparently he's looking downright scrawny, according to the Inquirer. Well, he's 62 years old now. And so he and Amal, the glamorous lawyer wife, attended the Prince's Trust Awards in London, and people were commenting on how thin he is. And, you know, here's the deal. If he gained weight, they'd be commenting on how fat he is. You cannot win. There is just no way. And so I guess being thin, maybe that's the best of the two options. I don't know. But in 2020, apparently he had pancreatitis. I can relate. And no. Absolutely not. And so John came in to say it's time, but no, it's not. I'm watching that, and that would be wrong. But we are prattling toward the last minute of this hour's programming, and then we got another hour to go. And hey, I'm not running out of tabloids. So yeah, man, would you like to call? 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So I think I still got time. John doesn't think I have time. So I'll just run out of time and talk to you next hour right here on WGN Radio.
She's a little piece.
I'm Raleigh James, and that was, you know, well into his career that Donnie Elbert on Gateway Records in 1965 did A Little Piece of Leather, which became very big in Great Britain, and then later Northern Soul. Man, an absolute smash. But there are so many wonderful Donnie Elbert records, and I was looking and I realized I'm playing over a dozen of them on KJ and a little station I have that plays obscure R&B, and I'm not sure that there's any artist I'm playing more records of than Donnie Elbert. So I saw Johnny in Austin wants to talk about Donnie Elbert. I'm like, yes, absolutely. How's it going, Johnny?
Well, everything's good. How about yourself?
Can't complain.
Well, last night I was going through a bunch of artists, and Donnie Elbert, now I grew up on R&B, but I got to be honest that I didn't ever know much about Donnie Elbert at all growing up. Was he more like regional to Pittsburgh or something?
No, he was born in New Orleans and he was raised in Buffalo. But the deal about Donnie Elbert, he was just screwed blue so many ways, you almost wonder if there was like some past life karma, because this guy lost all the way around. In fact, years ago, Ron Dante in an interview said, there's an old saying that the music business is full of crooks and thieves and people who would stab their mothers for a dollar. And then there's the downside. Well, it appears that Donnie Elbert lived on, unfortunately, the downside. But there were so many great records. Now, part of it was his own decisions. Like, he had formed a little group with Danny Cannon, and you might not know that name, but you know the name he recorded under, Lenny O'Henry, who had Across the Street. And so he had formed the Vibraharps, and before they even put a record out, there was a disagreement, and he left. But he released his first solo single, What Can I Do? Now, you remember that, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. I do.
Which is
I've got the...
It's a wonderful, wonderful record. And
I started looking at his whatever he charted last night, and apparently, you know, just taking a look at all this, he went through a lot of different changes musically over the years, and by the time I was at KYOK in 65, I still didn't know anything about him, and then I probably caught probably another change in his style or career back at KYOK the second time back in 1973, 74 when he almost got pop with Where Did Our Love Go?
Well, yeah.
Baby.
And that was a problem, too, because those, and it's sad because, of course, Where Did Our Love Go becomes his biggest hits, but he was not down for releasing some of those, truth be known. But originally he was on Deluxe, and he did Have I Sinned, which you know that, too,
yep.
And Wild Child, mm-hmm. and then What Can I Do on Deluxe, and then Believe It or Not, always liked that. And, you know, trying to think of what after that.
I'm looking at my big list here I made last night, because I was going over YouTube listening to all this stuff, and one that really caught me, and it was, let me see what was it called. But Believe It or Not, yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah,
and
believe,
I liked it great.
Believe It or Not is a great record, and if anybody missed it. Yeah, it was a wonderful song.
Yeah, I was going through YouTube because a lot of these I just didn't know. I thought, well, I'm just going to get my education here and figure out what's
okay.
what with him. But I was even shocked to see that somewhere later in his career he was doing Ooh Baby Baby.
Yes,
with,
well,
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, see that was the problem, and see he wasn't that pleased with that deal because all of a sudden they put him as sort of a remake artist of Motown, and that isn't what he wanted to do. So the other thing is he was a hell of a songwriter, and he got screwed blue there, too. You know, he wrote Open the Door to Your Heart for Daryl Banks, who was his friend.
No, I did not know
well,
that.
Well, and Daryl Banks released it, and when Donnie Elbert saw the record, he saw that it was credited to Daryl Banks, and he thought that it was just an error. And, you know, he calls, and nope, Daryl claimed he wrote it. Well, of course, Donnie had proof that he wrote it. And so that went to court, and he did win on that as far as that went. He didn't get full credit because the deal was the title, Open the Door to Your Heart, Daryl Banks changed the name of it. When Elbert wrote it, it was Baby Walk Right In. Which, of course, you know the lyrics.
Oh, okay. Well, that's close.
Yeah, right. Well, the lyrics are there. So, anyway, but that was not the only time that happened to him. I mean, this guy, okay, I'm trying to think of, was it Shame, Shame, Shame? Yeah, he wrote Shame, Shame, Shame. While he was at
Shirley and Company?
Yes. Well, he didn't write it for Shirley and Company. Without asking him, the label gave the song to Shirley and Company. Of course, Shirley was Shirley Goodman from Shirley and Lee. Once again, he doesn't get the writer credit. Sylvia Robinson gets it. And, of course, Sylvia Robinson has some pretty deep pockets, and so he was never legally recognized for that. But he absolutely wrote it. And you can go on and on with that. So he was just Mr. Unlucky, and he was on a lot of labels and wrote hundreds of songs as far as that goes. But you know Wild Child. I'm going to go through some of the stuff I'm playing on KJ to make sure you've heard Wild Child. And Will You Ever Be Mine? You've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah, Baby Cakes.
He even... did a version. It wasn't all that great of This Old Heart of Mine.
Oh, yeah.
Weak for You that the Isley Brothers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I'm not mentioning any of those covers because he didn't like doing them. But Baby Cakes, Your Red Wagon, Can't Get Over Losing
You. I don't know those.
Oh, you don't? All right. Well. So these here's Baby Cakes. And as you can hear, it was a Parkway record. So
oh, really?
Oh, of course. You can tell just by that studio. You know exactly where that was cut. All right. So you don't know Your Red Wagon?
No, I don't.
Oh, wow.
You can. Your
and that was 64 on Gateway. So,
I mean, I could tell by just looking at his stuff and looking at the charts and everything that he didn't get treated right.
No, he really didn't. You know, Run Little Girl.
I do not.
Oh wow, wow. Yeah, it looks like you missed a lot of the Gateway stuff. Okay, so Run Little Girl was a great little record. I thought it was a great song.
That was a great song. What now? What label was that on?
Gateway. It was a flip side on Gateway in 1964.
64. I don't even think I even saw that one.
Well,
that was really good.
Oh yeah.
He did a favorite of mine, but I didn't think he did a great job of it. Was I got it written down here. Someday you'll want me to want you.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I did. I thought this is just going to be great, and I thought,
no.
All right.
But. No, the stuff that he was really into was the good stuff. So so Wild Child was wonderful, and of course, I Got to Get Myself Together. You remember that?
Yep, it's on my list.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But by the time I really discovered him at KYOK, it was when Sweet Baby came out. Oh heck, Where Did Our Love Go was I'm just going back in time trying to recall his stuff, but his really good stuff was his early stuff.
Absolutely. The deluxe stuff and the Gateway stuff, just terrific records.
Well, where did this get airplay?
Who the hell knows? Who the hell? I guess so. Some of the soul stations. Can't Get Over Losing You on Rare Bullet. Did you listen to that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine record. That What Will I Do? Of course, that became the wedding song. Some Jamaican did that, covered it. I'm trying to think. Yes, I'm trying to think of who that. Maybe I've got that on this computer, but because I play both versions.
Did you mention Will You Ever Be Mine? You did, right?
Yes, and of course I got that.
Yeah, I've got that. That was one of the first ones that really caught my attention. I knew about Have I Sinned. But if you go on there and try to buy a CD with his music on it, they're rare. They're very rare. And they're expensive.
Okay, probably they are. I've got some CDs, old ones, I think. Derek Harriott redid What Can I Do as the wedding song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me play you some of that because it's interesting as well, I think, anyway. But here's, and you know the Donny Elbert version, but here is the Derek Harriott.
Baby, baby, come back, won't you be
So no Donnie Elbert, but an interesting version.
Now, what version was that?
That's Derek Harriott.
Oh, that's not Donnie Elbert?
No, Donnie Elbert's version is a little different. Let me play the difference for you if I have that on this computer. No, that's Derek Harriott. And if you look at the record, it just says The Wedding.
Huh. That sounded like Donnie Elbert to me.
Well, all right, so we got to play them back to back for you, I guess. All right, and we can do that. All right, so here's Donnie Elbert. We'll listen closely.
Okay.
All right, so keep that in mind. That's 1957 on Deluxe, all right? So
yeah, that's the first charted record, yeah.
Well, here is in fact Derek Harriott with The Wedding. Crystal Records in Kingston, Jamaica, 1962, and the writer is credited as Elbert.
So Donnie Elbert did it first with What Can I Do, and then Derek Harriott brought it back as The Wedding?
Yes, and actually on Crystal was also What Can I Do, and then it was, when it was a hit, it was re-released as The Wedding. But Derek, it was a flip side of Leona. And so Derek Harriott was kind of an interesting guy. It's Jamaican, obviously. And, he owned Crystal Records, hence it was on Crystal. He's a one-stop guy. Yeah. Derek's one-stop. And, he was a producer there, did a lot of stuff as well. But yes, his version of that song really was a big wedding song, there as well. So yeah, What Can I Do?
Well, what I got out of this is I listened to these songs and kind of looked them over. This had a lot of appeal in the East LA type sound,
well,
right?
Of course. Huggy Boy and Art LeBeau. Yeah, I played all those records, which is one of the reasons I know them. Huggy Boy especially.
Did you ever interview or meet Donnie Elbert?
No, and he sadly died in 79, and no, I never did. I had the opportunity a few times, and it was always, yeah, I will soon, and never did. And by then, he was really soured on the music business. Who could blame him? And so,
really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, but he was great. So I'm so glad you mentioned him, because he never gets his due.
Well, I thought if anybody would know the history of him, it would be you.
Yeah, well, I was a fan.
So I got all this together last night, and I was, like, doing all my study on this guy's music.
Yeah.
And I was like, he really, really had a heck of a run with all kinds of stuff. I mean, even did a version of Where Did Our... No. Love Is Here, and Now You're Gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. He didn't really like doing those, but he did. But the early stuff was just tremendous.
Have I Sinned? That didn't even chart?
No, it should have. I mean, I don't know that it did, but that was a big Huggy Boy record, of course, which is, why I know it.
Now, was that early 50? Was that like 57 in there too?
Yes.
It sounded old.
Yes. Have I Sinned? It was 57, and the A side was Leona. And if you notice, a minute ago I said Derek Harriott, when he did his cover of What Can I Do, his B side was Leona. So Leona was the A side originally, and yeah, Have I Sinned on Deluxe was the B side.
The only Leona I know is Stonewall Jackson, and I'm sure that's not the same Leona.
No, it's not. And Deluxe also put Have I Sinned as the flip of Hear My Plea. So they tried it a couple times as and Hear My Plea was the flip of What Can I Do? I mean, on and on. There's so many of them that we can go on and on. But, yeah.
Why do you figure that his stuff is so hard to find? Did they just not release that much? I'm talking about on CD now.
Yeah, well, remember,
because it was something on collectibles.
Right. Absolutely. Have that CD, actually. Red Top was Will You Ever Be Mine. Now, come on. Red Top was a Philly label. Where are you going to even find these people to get the rights to that? Yeah, that's why every time I play these records, and of course I have to pay Sound Exchange, I'm like, yeah, like you're going to pay the people at Red Top Records? Good luck on that.
Sure.
You know, so.
Well, I thought you were probably a fan of his music.
Yes.
One thing I did notice is every song, with the exception of like one, all of them faded.
Yeah,
faded.
Yeah, they did. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And it was like, well, give me more of this, and then they just dump it, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, you know, more than a couple of minutes, not a good idea. So,
Gary was asking me that. Who is that artist you're playing with that high pitched voice up there?
Yeah.
He didn't know much about him either.
Right. No. Well, most people didn't. But you say where did I hear it? But when you mentioned that Huggy Boy played them all.
Oh man. Well, I wish I would have been more in touch with his music while the CDs were still available, because they're out there on the market for $100.
Oh my god. Right. Oh my god.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. So
well,
I'll settle on YouTube.
Yeah, and keep looking, because sometimes you see things at really good prices, and sometimes give Val Shively a call, because if he has it, he's probably going to sell it to you for $20.
Is he still around?
Absolutely. 49 Garrett Road, Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. 610-352-2320.
Oh, well, you're right on that. Yes, indeed. It sounds like you're ready to go to the news.
Thank you for telling me that. I am right. See, you're a disc jockey. You know these things. All right. I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm watching that clock.
Yeah, you are. See, and that's something I know. I just talk to people. All right. You're absolutely right, and thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, have a great morning.
All right, you too. So, that was fun. Now, about that news on WGN Radio.
Get myself together.
James Moore, Donny Elbert. Yeah, flip side, I can't get over losing you. Got to get myself together. It was on Rare Bullet Records in 1970. That was a division of All Platinum, where once again, poor Donny Elbert wasn't treated well. Yes, he wrote both sides of that. Of course he did. All right, so we've got Mike in Mount Pleasant. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I haven't spoken to you in a long time.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Well, a friend of mine got my TV set up and running. I lived without TV service for over 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me at all because I think most stuff on it is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it up and running a couple months ago, and I noticed a couple of alarming things.
Mm.
One of which is every other commercial, at least, is for a man-made drug.
Yeah,
at least. Now, I was in the vitamin business many years. I sold products to vitamin stores all over the country, everything from cookies to bodybuilding formulas. You name it, I put into the stores, right?
Right.
Vitamin, health food, and natural food stores represent a natural alternative to treating your body like a garbage can, so to the point where you get sick as hell, look like Elvis, and go to your doctor and ask for a magical pill to take all the symptoms away. Like this latest commercial they got out for something called Jardiance. Have you seen that?
No, I don't watch television. I'm sorry.
It's so bad, it's good. It's got this 350-pound girl with, quote, a touch of diabetes, and she's dancing around, snapping her fingers with a huge smile on her face because she discovered a man-made drug called Jardiance. And all of these man-made drugs have commercials have two things in common. A list of side effects a mile long. I mean, it's ridiculous. Number two, they all of them without doubt say, ask your doc, quote, ask your doctor about.
They have to.
Fill in the blank.
No, they have
they do?
To. Yeah. Here's the deal. Did you know it formerly was not legal to advertise directly to the public on pharmaceuticals? That changed in 1985. And so,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And when I say not legal, I mean the NAB code and everything else. No, you weren't allowed. Pharmaceutical manufacturers were not allowed to advertise directly to the public. And so that's why all of those things say ask your doctor. For one thing, you can't get it without a prescription. So there's going to be a provider in this mix no matter what. You see, remember, you can't go into the health food store and say, I'll take some Jardiance, please. It doesn't work like that.
You're right about that.
So consequently, they have to do that.
Well, you know, psychologically, I was in sales, okay? When a consumer asks a doctor about fill in the blank, half of the sale is made right there.
Right.
It's up to the doctor to do what's called the closing. Oh, you need you want some, a bottle of 100 won't last you long. I'll get you a bottle of 250 of those pills. Your name again? And do you have Blue Cross Blue Shield? And get a payment out of the guy. I mean, half the sale is made.
Yeah. The deal is, like I say, it was 1985 when they could advertise directly to the public. But the FDA allowed the marketing of pharmaceutical products, you know, to doctors and stuff like that, in 1938. Now, as you well know, they always were doing that. And, of course, in more recent years and decades, there's been crackdowns because, of course, the pharmaceutical companies were giving doctors some very nice perks, you know, golf clubs, golfing trips, on and on the list is, you know. So they've cracked down on that pretty well. But when they started to advertise directly to the people, that's when, and this, by the way, that's television. Now, for paper, the first print ad direct to the public was for 1981, and that was Merck, and it was for a pneumonia vaccine. And then Boots ran one for ibuprofen compared to Motrin. You know, these were over-the-counter things at this point, but not the
over-the-counter,
vaccine.
Over-the-counter, key phrase,
yeah,
OTC.
Right. Well, right. So, this was, the FDA said to the pharmaceutical industry in the 80s, you know, we need a moratorium on this while we study this. And then in 85, that's when they came out with the idea that there had been established for the healthcare providers sufficiently to protect American consumers against deceptive or misleading claims. Yeah, you tell me what that means. So anyway, of course, at that point, you still had a ton of print ads, not as many broadcast. But then the deal on broadcast when the floodgates really opened was 1995. And so 85, you saw a lot of stuff in print based on what the FDA said. And 81 is the first time you saw it at all. And then 95, you're starting to see a lot of things that are going to be on television. And then there were rules that changed in 97 as well. But to give you an idea about advertising dollars. In 1980, the spending was about $12 million in this sector. In 1990, it was about $47 million. In 95, it was $340 million. In 97, after more changes, it went up. And now we're talking by 2006, it's $5 billion. All right, it dropped in 2009 to 4.5, you know, during that, but it's probably a lot more than that, that now. So it was, growing twice as fast as direct-to-physicians ad. In other words, there were two classifications. One was DTP, which was direct-to-physician, and the other was, DTCPA, which you're talking about to the consumer. So yeah, this all changed, but they have all sorts of rules on how they have to state it. Hence, that's why you hear the disclaimers, and that's why you hear, of course, ask your doctor about.
And then there's the mile long list of side effects.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, right. And of course, they do it at a speed that would be impossible to understand. But I still think years ago I said that my goal was to make all the R&B soliloquies talk to one each other in a long playing conversation. But I think now, if I was young and thinking of something to do, I was going to say with a razor blade, but you do it obviously on computer now. What I would like to do is edit all those disclaimers together. I think it could be hilarious.
Some punk rock guy with a mohawk saying, "Hey, ask your doctor about, what about the side effects?" And then one after another for about 10 minutes, right?
You can group them together as well. So there are three types of ads that I remember that the FDA considered this. One was a product claim. In other words, the drug is named and it makes a claim regarding its use and, safety, supposedly. And so fair balance has to apply. And that has to do with broadcast ads about what they say and all that. And they have to have risks included in a major statement and adequate provision for access to a brief summary. Then there's the reminder ad, which names drugs and costs, but not uses. So that's a reminder ad. So since no product claim is made, they don't need to do fair balance. And then there's help seeking, describes a disease or condition, but doesn't mention a drug that treats it, and therefore don't have to do fair balance. So the only time they have to list those side effects is a product ad claim. If they claim, like I say, Jardiance does whatever Jardiance does, I don't know what the hell it does, but whatever it is, then they have to disclaim it.
You got to see that Jardiance commercial. It's just so, it's hilarious.
Well, we're talking, again, a multi-billion dollar industry. So I'm looking this up so I can see this. So, yes, I see one in 2023. Oh, there's many of them. Oh, here's one with a dog. Oh, that's from last year, 2022. I want to see the one with the dog. All right, well, I will. I'll watch it, I promise.
Okay, and just so you know, in general, in TV in general,
I hope they're not giving it to the dog. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, it occurred to me, wait a minute. Yeah, I hope the drug isn't for the dog. All right, so yes, I will go ahead.
I just wanted to say one last thing. The TV content now is, there's so many deadly, serious dramas, all involving crime. I mean, CSI this, CSI that, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, on and on. It's like, what happens to stupid, brainless humor?
I'll
leave it to Beaver for the 21st century.
Yeah, except here's the problem. Now we're talking about true democracy. These producers are going to produce whatever gets the most ratings, whatever people watch. And if you're seeing a glut of these crime shows, you know damn well they're producing the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
So, and
I like the ones that deal with real crimes, like Forensic Files, I've seen. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I'm sure it's there. But, the only reason I've been exposed to television at all, of course, John, because he was an award-winning director and producer and all those kind of things. But no, I never even had one. So it just doesn't interest me. I'm radio all the way.
I don't blame you, really. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I just had to...
I'm going to go... Now, what I'm going to do during the next break, I am going to watch the Jardiance commercial. Like I say, I picked the one with the dog. I hope the drug isn't for the dog. And I'll go ahead and see the commercial.
The one with the dog?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about a 350-pound female.
Yeah, that's the 2023 version. But there's a 2022 version that has a dog. But,
My TV wasn't working. What the hell did I miss?
But, yeah, I see the woman dancing around. In fact, I see two different shirts on her. One is sort of a teal, and the other is like a bright yellow.
Oh. Yeah. She's wearing a blue outfit, and halfway through, she changes into this bright yellow bed sheet.
Funny you say that, because I looked at it and thought it was the drapes. So, yeah, you're on it. All right. I'm going to go check it out. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
So, yeah, it does. It looks like she's wearing the drapes. All right. So we'll get to James on the South Side, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, more Donnie Elbert and Baby Cakes. All right, now, I took Mike's advice, and I looked at the Jardians commercials. Firstly, I saw the one with the dog. The dog was lovely. 2022. No, they weren't feeding the drug to the dog. Though in one scene, it looked like maybe. However, this 2023 commercial, it's the funniest damn thing I've ever seen. It's hilarious. And I clicked on it, and of course it was a YouTube thing, so it has comments. And in this case, it has 398 comments. I haven't read them all, but my favorite was, why don't they produce a Broadway musical next on terminal cancer? Who the heck approved this? Exactly. Yeah. And then somebody else said, this is the prime example of a commercial that deserves negative comments. A lot of them. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm with them. Who the heck approved that? And then someone else writes, I love this commercial. This one makes me feel happy. I love the voice. All right. So, she seems so happy to have diabetes. Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm glad. I would never have run into that commercial, obviously. So as someone else says, and I guess this is the PS, this is plain creepy. Yeah. And so there you where you have it. So that mailman, there's a mailman in the picture, wanted to deliver more than just mail to the woman in the yellow shower curtain. Okay. I thought they were drapes, but a shower curtain, yeah, good enough. So there you go. You can watch it yourself. Now, I don't know. Does it work? Not the drug, the commercial. In terms of, I always look at these commercials like you're spending millions of dollars to get people to try a product, or in this case, to get people to ask their doctor about a product that, by the way, and the disclaimer, of course, might kill them. But other than that, what's your problem? So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. Now, James, the man of 5,832 links, it's hard to top that commercial, James.
There's very strange people out there.
Yeah, I guess, but multi-billion-dollar industry. Just amazing. And as usual, a wonderful group of videos you sent. And I couldn't manage my messy life. Then I started stealing my 9-year-old's Ritalin. I'm like, what? Yeah, sure enough. And the woman writes it as this is a wonderful thing. So it does,
Yeah, it's almost like, don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But in a perverse sort of way.
Yeah. So,
Then there's the scammer, the person who basically didn't realize that the text they should never have answered that text.
No, of course not. And you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the horrors of social websites and all that. But I'll tell you, the one that really was heartwarming that you sent me was that 12-year-old. Mother had thrown a party for the 12-year-old, and none of his friends could show up. At the last minute, everyone canceled. This is in South Carolina, the boy's 12th birthday. So she goes on social media and says, "Hey, if you live near us in I guess she was in Columbia, you know, can you come?" And tons of people came to this kid's birthday, and I thought that was just great.
Yeah, that was okay. I tried to find some more heartwarming ones. Yeah. There weren't a whole lot, unfortunately. It seems like there's more, like how mankind seems to prove that it's like a race to the bottom.
Yeah, well, it is a race to the bottom. That's absolutely, absolutely true. And more people being shot and all of that, just absolutely, absolutely horrifying. But on top of the 12-year-old who got the social media person, another one, a woman asks if it's tacky to sue people who didn't come to her wedding. You see,
I think that it should be obvious. Don't.
Yeah. So here's the deal. She's getting married. She's sending out invitations. And she says, if people RSVP and then don't come, I'm taking them to court for the cost of their portion of the food and services I paid for. Do you think this is tacky? And, oh, man. Yeah. She has to ask?
Yeah. It did. You have to ask. There's something that we felt, and just that you played it, it just played back to yourself. Yeah. And just to think you're just somebody who's being invited, and you decide not to go.
Well,
how would you feel?
Well, exactly. And some of those answers were great, too. And I run out of time, but I will talk to you soon. And thank you for every one of the links. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all right.
You take care.
You too. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. Couldn't have done it without him. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. You make this show a pleasure to do. So tomorrow night, there is a little bit of hockey action, but I assume we will be on about 10:30. So stay tuned and do call. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.